The One News Kantar poll shows National and ACT could govern together with 62 seats, but Christopher Luxon has taken a hit in his popularity count, sliding a couple of points. General election is more than a year away, so what, if anything, does this meaningfully tell us? Our political reporter Annika Smith joins us from the Press Gallery. Kia ora, Annika. What's the big surprise here, if any?
Yeah, so the biggest takeaway from this poll, given we haven't had one in about 3 months, is that National and ACT, as you said, could form the next government after the 2023 election. If we cast our mind back to the last poll, which was end of May, I think 30 May, that result was that there would be a hung parliament with Te Pāti Māori holding the balance of power. And so things have shifted and sort of shifted slightly right since then. And we're in a position where National's taken a small hit in the party vote, down 2 points to 37%. But with ACT, that's had a boost of 4 points up to 11%. They would actually, I think, altogether have 62 seats. So they would be able to form the next government.
And David Seymour appears to be cutting through the noise. What's he doing right, do you think?
Yeah, so that's also another big takeaway from this result, is that National could only form a government with ACT because ACT has bumped up 4 points. I think it's actually the biggest boost out of all the parties. And so, you know, that's a very favourable result for the ACT party. David Seymour will be very pleased with that. The last poll, support for ACT actually dropped 1 point to 7%. So I think part of this is clawing back a little. But David Seymour, as leader of the ACT party, and his MPs do work very hard to differentiate themselves from National, while also maintaining that line as a traditional partner for the National Party. And they've obviously really positioned themselves well in terms of, priming themselves for election 2023 and possibly being a coalition partner in a new government.
Although I'm not sure that National would appreciate his comment, this is verbatim, "New Zealand needs real change. The only way to get that is a National Party government, with ACT providing the thought leadership."
Yeah, it's a bit quiffy, isn't it? And it's sort of what we'd expect from David Seymour, a bit tongue-in-cheek, really. And I think he'd maintain that line through and through. I think that's sort of the hardest thing for ACT to deal with, is to stay aligned with National while also differentiating themselves enough to keep their voter base stable. And, I mean, this result shows that, 11% of the vote, that is not insignificant.
Well, having said that, only 5% see David Seymour as the preferred Prime Minister. Jacinda Ardern is still on top there at 30%.
Yeah, that's right. So Jacinda Ardern, it's actually, interestingly, it's her lowest result since she's held the Prime Ministership. So down, I think, 3 points to 30%. And Christopher Luxon still down quite a bit, I think, on 22%. David Seymour is a leader of a minor party. It's no surprise that he's still way down in the preferred Prime Minister rankings. I think the biggest takeaway from those is that Jacinda Ardern's popularity continues to slip. Although that slip is the same amount that Christopher Luxon's experienced in that same rating, and part of that might be a bit of the wash-up after his personal views on abortion came to light. I think it was a few weeks to a month ago, and so that was seen as quite controversial, and that might take a bit of a hit in his popularity, even though he's ruled out making any changes to abortion laws and supports for abortion in New Zealand. So I think that might reflect that as well.
Is all this cyclical, though, Annika? Wouldn't we expect to see this fatigue set in during a second term of government?
Possibly. I mean, it's also important to note that we're still a year out from the next election, and a lot can change. I think, these results and the trends have shown over time, there aren't a lot of polls nowadays, so we sort of have to take them in the wider context, that people are feeling dissatisfied with the current government's performance. And it's possible that some of those pressures, we talk about the cost of living crisis, you pull up to a petrol station and you fill up your car, the cost to fill your supermarket trolley. I mean, all those things would likely continue under a National government, given a lot of these pressures relate to inflationary dynamics in the wider economy. So you could argue it's cyclical, but at the same time, there's still a long way out from the next election. So I think we just have to sort of wait and see how it plays out over the next few months.
And while we've got you there, National's newest MP for Tauranga, Sam Uppendale, he's blotted his copybook before he's even got his feet under the table for something that he did at school a long time ago.
Yes, a long time ago. Cast your mind back to 1999. What were you doing back then? Sam Uffendale was 16. He was at the end of fifth form at King's College, and he and a few other boys raided a first form dorm and beat up a younger student. He told Checkpoint earlier this evening he punched this boy up to half a dozen times, and the next day the school said, look, you know, you need to leave. And so he left the school. This has come out, published an article this afternoon, and he's since come out and publicly stated that it had weighed on him over the years. But the key question with this is the timing, because it obviously happened a long time ago, I think 22, 23 years ago. But it's not until 9 months previous to him announcing his political aspirations that he actually apologised to the victim, in this case. He was asked by, you know, RNZ and others about, you know, how genuine this apology was given the timing of it. And he denies he was cleaning, you know, a skeleton out of his closet ahead of a political career. But also notes, you know, his future hangs in the balance a little. He's heading to Wellington tomorrow. That's when the House resumes to sit, and he'll be discussing his future with his team. So we're not actually sure where things will land come end of tomorrow. He'll be having chats with presumably his party leader and staff about where to hear from next. But as it stands at the moment, he says his apology is genuine. And so we'll have to see what comes tomorrow.
What, you think he might step down?
It's really unclear at this point. I'm in the process of contacting the party to ask if it will issue a statement of support, because all we know so far from National is it's confirmed that Sam Uffendale fully disclosed the assault at the school when he applied to be a candidate for Tauranga. But it was just a very short one-line statement that we got from the party. So I'm currently, you know, as we speak, in the process of trying to get confirmation from the party if it will issue a letter of support or a statement of support for him. But radio silence so far from the party. They've put Sam Uffendale up, but we don't sort of know where that relationship stands. Hopefully we know more, possibly tomorrow morning, about where that situation's going to land for him. It's definitely not a good look optics wise. He's obviously apologised, but, you know, that timing discrepancy, people can make their own minds up about how genuine that is. It does seem to be a massive lag in terms of, you know, having it weigh on your conscience for 20 plus years and then apologising before you step into the political arena.
Well, let us know when you do. Annika, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Karen.
It's Annika Smith from the Press Gallery.